take a minute to check your social battery. How's it doing? It's easy to ignore our needs and spread ourselves too thin. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. BetterHelp offers affordable online therapy on a schedule that works for you. Start the process in minutes and switch therapists anytime. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/popcastpod today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/popcastpod.
Welcome to the New York Times Podcast, your The Joke's on Me of music news and criticism. I'm your host, John Caramonica.
Very good.
Yeah, that was good.
All right. Everyone at the table approves when John Caramonica takes himself to task. It's the day after the Grammys. I'm at the table with three emotionally decimated people. I have John Farrell's chief pop music critic in the New York Times.
I'm here.
Yes. Karen Gann's pop music editor.
Decimated.
Joe Coscarelli, pop music reporter.
Welcome to the Yee Club.
Hey.
Can we say that? Yeah. We could bleep it. Yeah, whatever. That's a Casey Musgraves tweet.
Joe slept well.
I slept okay.
Yeah, okay. Well, good. I didn't sleep well.
I slept some.
I was up late writing about the Grammys. The Grammys were yesterday. Casey Musgraves won a bunch of awards. Childish Gambino was on a TV commercial and also won some awards. Yeah. Ariana Grande was on her couch in a sweatshirt.
Won one award.
Immaterial, frankly, because she had a very big night otherwise. Let's talk a little bit about the big picture of the Grammys. Let's talk about an exit plan for Ken Ehrlich. We have a lot of things to go over. We started with Casey Musgraves, who won Album of the Year for Golden Hour. Joe, you tweeted a picture of Cardi B and Offset touching tongues.
Tonguing, yeah.
Yes. And what was your caption to the photo?
The Grammy to white women.
In 2019.
In 2019.
Right.
Yeah.
Why was that so important in 2019?
All right. So as we know, last year was one of the worst Grammys in recent memory. Mm-hmm. Certainly the worst Grammys since I've been covering them. And a fire was lit after the award show, sort of burning up all of the... I'm not going to take this metaphor all the way, but basically, Neil Portnow, head of the Recording Academy, was asked
Bye.
About. Yeah, he's
Bye.
Done. He's done in July. This is the last show.
Oh, he doesn't. He's not just done like today.
No. He has to wait till July for the peaceful transition of power.
So, like, Neil Portnow has like a lame duck session.
Yes. Yes.
What do you think? Do you think he's going to pardon all his old rock friends in these next 5 months? Like, do you think, like, all he's going to, like, honestly be, like, moving budget around to the over 70
Justice
budget?
Justice for Greta Van Fleet.
Oh, man. I was unaware of that. I honestly thought today he was, like, on a plane to Aruba or something.
No. I believe it's July. Yeah. They have not yet announced his successor at the Recording Academy. Last year, he told women that they should step up if they wanted to be recognized in the music industry.
Yeah.
This was
and
amid,
not in the dance movie sense.
No. This was amid dismal numbers about representation, especially for women behind the scenes, songwriters, engineers, producers, but also artists. Lorde, who was nominated last year for Album of the Year, was not granted a solo performance slot.
Which seemed ludicrous after last night's
right.
performance lineup. We'll get back to it.
So this year was basically a four-hour I'm sorry to the women of the music industry who, you know, if you watch the show, they're doing pretty good.
And also Michelle Obama and Jada Pinkett.
Right.
Just FYI.
So Alicia Keys was the host. Almost every performance was female-led, or even the male performances were cut with women.
Yes,
Shawn Mendes
and
did In My Blood, but it became a duet with
Miley Cyrus
just to have a woman involved. I think the only performances that were all male were Travis Scott and James Blake.
Yeah.
And
Philip Bailey.
And Damon Shay. Right. Oh, and of course, Post Malone and the Red Hot Chili Peppers, the malest performance of them all. So... you saw women winning a lot of awards.
Yep.
You saw rappers winning a lot of awards. That's the other.
Cardi B won a televised award.
Yes. The other sort of subplot of the Grammys in recent years has been, in recent years, by recent years, I mean 2+ decades, mm-hmm. has been ignoring.
You mean the duration of the American history textbook?
Right.
Yeah.
Has been ignoring rap music and especially any sort of innovative hip hop Outkast and Lauryn Hill, I believe, are the only rap albums to win Album of the Year ever. That held last night. We went with Kacey Musgraves. I didn't vote, but you know what I mean. We as humanity. No rap song had ever won Song or Record of the Year. That changed this year with This Is America. To me, that's more a song about rap music than it is a rap song. We can get to that.
Well, should we just get to it real fast now?
Do a minute or two on This Is America.
Okay. Joe, what you just said is, I think, an interesting distillation of kind of how I feel about This Is America. Two things. When we first exposed to This Is America, or exposed to it in video form, I think people really felt invigorated, even challenged by the video. I think video is pretty good.
Certainly interesting. It's well made.
Yeah. It's artful.
It's original.
I wrote about the best music video category. That's one of the reasons I wrote about the category, because I thought it reflected not just an interesting artistic moment, but also a change in how important, quote unquote, records, songs are put out into the world. That said, I did not actually hear This Is America for the first time while watching the video. I think I was traveling the day it came out or whatever, and I just listened to the song. And this is what I heard. This is America, sans video.
Ooh, America. I just checked my follow and listen. You motherfucker told me.
Okay, sometimes I feel like when I listen to a Playboi Carti album, I'm literally just hearing the ad-libs that belong in between lines, the normal bars. The Donald Glover record, to me, feels like commentary. It feels cyclical in a kind of unsatisfying way. And I was probably most shocked last night to see that it received Song of the Year.
Which is for songwriters.
For songwriters. To the point where I went back and read the lyrics. Because I was like, okay, well, maybe if I just look at it on paper. I'm not sure as a song. I'm just not sure. It doesn't feel essential to me. As a kind of event, as a video piece, as a...
It won the music video Grammy.
It did win that and won Record of the Year, which
and
is...
And rap song collaboration, so it got 4 awards.
And also it has all these weird, quick vocal ad-libs.
Right, so it literally does have ad-libs, as you were saying, from other rappers.
Young Thug is on there. 21 Savage is on there.
Slim Jimmy.
Yeah. It just feels, I don't know. It was tough. I remember one time I heard it on the radio, and it was just very strange. True story, it was the first time I ever heard an old J. Cole song on the radio. It was almost as if the radio station had weirdly shifted from 97.1 to 88.5. It was completely decontextualized. It just didn't hold up, ultimately. That said, as an event, it makes a lot of sense. And I think speaks to people who maybe don't want to listen to a Blockboy JB record, don't want to listen to a 21 Savage record, don't want to listen to a Ray Sherman record.
I was trying to reverse engineer the mind of a Grammy voter in checking this box, in these two categories, record and song. Now, obviously, the Grammys were a bit different this year because in the top 4 categories, record, song, album, and best new artist, there were 8 nominees instead of 5. Now, that, I think, increases the likelihood of vote splitting. So, when you have songs within certain genres that would necessarily have voting blocks that would galvanize behind it, that gets a little screwed up. I think we saw that in Album of the Year. But with This Is America, it felt like I could see someone who is not engaged on a daily basis with rap music checking that box because this is a song via its video that has been declared important with a capital I.
Virtue signaling.
It's some virtue signaling. It's interesting compositionally. It has these different sections.
It has a message.
Donald Glover, is increasingly considered a genius, I think, for his work. Also outside of music.
Primarily outside of music.
So you can see how someone would think, yes, it's time we acknowledge a hip-hop song in these categories. This feels like a good compromise.
And,
I don't know.
And JP, also, can I just add one thing, JP, before we get in, which is if you put what you just said in context of the Drake speech, what Drake said is he's talking about Grammy voters. And he's like, Grammy voters who maybe are not the best, and I'm quoting here, best equipped to understand what a mixed race kid from Canada has to say, or a fly Spanish girl from New York, or anybody else, or a brother from Houston, talking about Cardi and talking about Travis. I don't think that extended to Donald Glover. Like, I don't think
well,
that's...
Well, obviously it didn't.
Right. Right. Like, that's... I don't think that's what Drake's talking about. And what Drake was talking about is basically, like, your parents are voting for your awards. So, like, it doesn't matter, ultimately. That's not important. Sorry, JP.
To Joe's point, you could get by with a plurality. It was like kind of like the Republican primary. You know.
Well, I mean, that's extremely fair.
This Is America had a couple of things going for it, which it was a video, so they didn't actually have to listen to it. And it was it, this whole Grammys was the apology tour.
Yeah.
This whole Grammys was, we're sorry, hip-hop. We're sorry, ladies. I mean, it was a lot too late. But boy, were they trying hard. And I was actually kind of glad that Best New Artist did not go to Greta Van Fleet because the Grammy guys thought it was a woman.
Yeah. And you saw the apology tour playing out not only in the choice of programming and in the nominees, but in which awards they chose to televise. That's always a tell. Yeah, it's a tell because, you know, they give away 75 out of 84 approximately awards on the pre-show. And it's just seeing the run of show when you saw Best Rap Album, you're like, okay, maybe they want it. They want Cardi to have a moment on the stage. You see, you know, Best Country Album, you see Best R&B Album. These are awards that don't always get televised. And a lot of the pop awards were not televised. I think only one pop award was.
There were no pop stars there.
Right, exactly.
It was just the Gaga one. It was the pop duo group.
And was there a rock award televised at all?
I don't believe so.
I don't think there has been in a long time.
Should we play just in the in memoriam clip of Ariana Grande singing Seven Rings that we didn't get to hear? Okay, so this is Ariana, Seven Rings, a song that she wanted to perform on the Grammys, but Ken Ehrlich, at Ken Ehrlich, didn't allow her to.
Breakfast at Tiffany's and bottles of bubbles. Girls with tattoos who like getting in trouble. Lashes and diamonds, ATM machines. Buy myself all of my favorite things. Been through some bad.
So Ariana wasn't there. Ariana was sitting on the couch with Scooter, watching and tweeting.
Oh, was she tweeting?
Yes.
Wait, was she actually sitting with Scooter and let her tweet that stuff?
There was he posted a video off of, I assume it was, I don't know if it was off his IG story. Someone posted it. One of the like pop aggregator sites posted it, but then I went to try to find the source video and I couldn't find the source video.
So Ariana was tweeting and deleting.
Yes.
Also, let's be clear.
So, okay. So I was thinking a lot about Grammy counter-programming. And this is something that had been on my mind when Ariana Grande was supposed to perform at the Grammys, but she also was like, I'm going to release a huge album 2 days before and release kind of like a Hot Topic video and all this other stuff. And then it turned out Ariana Grande did not go to the Grammys. And it turned out that the way that you can get the most attention during the Grammys is by not going to the Grammys. So Ariana wasn't there. Childish Gambino was not there, although he was in commercials. 21 Savage, obviously not there, but still.
Not by any choice of his own.
Exactly. And he wasn't mentioned apart from Ludwig Göransson, which was in and of itself notable that nobody spoke up on his behalf, or no one from the hip hop community spoke up on his behalf.
Or no one who's collaborated with him.
Right. You know, despite the photo of Post Malone sheathing himself on top of a 21 Savage t-shirt. And then the famous people who did show up had their speeches cut.
Right. I mean, you missed some people. Kendrick wasn't there.
Yeah,
Taylor wasn't there.
Obviously, you know, people who weren't in the mix this year, but who you might have expected to be there anyway. Ed mm-hmm. Sheeran, mm-hmm. Rihanna, mm-hmm. no Ed Sheeran, no Rihanna, no
Nikki,
Jay-Z, no Jay. Beyonce, mm-hmm. no Nicki, no Justin Bieber, no Kanye West.
Are these musicians you're naming?
No Frank Ocean, obviously, who has made his displeasure for the Grammys known. Mm-hmm. I could keep going. You know, there was a lack of AAA list wattage.
I was actually noticing how little they panned to the audience.
Yeah.
Because all they had was BTS. And BTS was great. They were the perfect pan, but Cardi was busy. You know, she had a lot of outfit changes going on. Offset
enjoyed,
got some screen time, but.
There was a great Beck reaction video while he was dancing to the Dolly Parton tribute.
He got swallowed by BTS. That's the only reaction shot that matters. And then if you're the Grammys, you should be so thrilled to have Drake actually deign to show up via the back entrance and, like, pop up.
I mean,
like,
so this was a really weird scenario.
So, okay, so obviously the Grammy setup, and this is something I wanted to talk about on Twitter, but I didn't, I forgot to tweet. No one is supposed to know who wins Grammys.
Right. The party line is that, you know, voting actually ends. Grammy watchers get all worked up about this because Grammy voting ends long before the show. I think there's like a couple weeks in between, but there's much longer.
They have to deal with the hanging chads. Right.
This is much longer, for instance, than with the Academy Awards.
Is that true?
Yes. Okay. So voting closes, the votes are tabulated, and then they're allegedly, you know, put in a box by whatever accounting firm handles it.
And then Neil Portnoy right. goes to the box, scribbles out names, and writes Greta Van Fleet in.
No, so yes, it's true that ostensibly the idea is that nobody knows who's going to win the Grammys. But then you see things like this Drake moment, and you're not so sure.
Okay, so like can we just explain the Drake moment? Well, first of all, let's play God's Plan. I don't want to die for them to miss me. Yes, I see the things that they wishing on me. Hope I got some brothers that outlive me. They gon' tell the story was different with me. God's plan, God's plan. I hold back sometimes I won't. Yeah. I feel good sometimes I don't. So, okay, so here's how the Drake moment goes. Dan and Shay.
Yes, every story about Drake begins with
Dan and Shay performed. Out on the second stage.
They call that the B stage.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Those in the
and
biz.
And if they don't, they should.
Actually, side note, the Grammys could take a page from the VMAs and do the little half performance things where they sing like 10 seconds and then they cut to a commercial.
Yes.
That, like, there were a couple of these performances last night. I won't name names, but you know who I'm talking about.
We could have shaved an hour off. Yeah.
Especially if the option is either cut off one of those performances or cut Drake off in the middle of his acceptance
speech. Right.
So anyway, so here's what happens.
Dan and Shay.
Dan and Shay perform Tequila. Actually, I thought the last note of Tequila was like extremely good.
This is a micro take.
Yes. Just want to put that out
there.
That
was a long note. That's not quite a micro take.
No,
that
was like, it was a micro take.
Beyond human endurance.
A micro take on a macro note. So
I don't remember this happening.
Okay, so... They do that. Then they like turn to the camera and they're like, we're so excited to be the presenters for Best Rap Song. And then it cuts to the video clips and Dan and Shay make their way to the A stage. And then they open the envelope and they say, God's plan. And immediately I'm like, how embarrassing. Because certainly Aubrey Drake Graham is not at the Staples Center. And then a weird camera
cut
is
below stage.
Like backstage camera. Like it's like they scrambled some guy who was like shooting something else. They're like, no, come here. Drake is just happens to be planted right at the foot of the backstage staircase. Great turtleneck, nice chain, well-fitting jacket, walks out. Gives Dan and Shay like a very firm dap, like they just like marched for civil rights or something, you know, like really an embrace. And then Drake starts talking. And now I want to say, we don't often think of Drake as someone who gives meaningful award show speeches, you know, AMAs, More Tune for Your Head Top, like et cetera, et cetera. But you never think like, wow, Drake's going to go, as some people on Twitter said last night, full Fiona, right? So you don't think that. But he kind of did. He starts dragging the Grammys.
I mean, and in a way that seemed very, very raw because it didn't quite make sense for a while. Like,
yes.
It took him a minute to locate his...
Well, he started with the personal slight, and then he, like, moved out to the bigger
but
slight.
That landed for me because I was like, I know he wants to say something. He's a little too worked up to say it. It wasn't the polished Drake that you normally get.
Right. But you could tell he'd been thinking about it. And so he starts talking, and I actually was really moved. I was in, you see everyone in the audience just genuinely silent and like
and also
watching,
standing
and like watching like this revered figure tell them it's okay to be themselves and like don't worry about this validation and like none of this matters as long as you are in charge of your destiny. Cut to commercial. like literally fly swatter.
He said but.
He did say but. It was that's true. He did say but and then it was cut to commercial. And if you are Ken Ehrlich, at Ken Ehrlich, and you have the literal most famous musician of the last 10 years on your stage giving a moving motivational speech, why is your instinct to cut to commercial?
So they said,
yeah,
I'll just put it out there. We're going to hear both sides. They said they thought he was done. To be fair, he took a very long pause.
Theatrical.
And reporters who were backstage said that he was offered the chance to go out and finish his speech after, and that he said, nah, I'm good.
Well, that's too little too late.
Of course. I'm just giving all the information.
Can you imagine how awkward it would have been if he actually came back out? And another thing, yeah. Ken.
What I was saying was. Yeah.
No, but also it's like then he's accepting their framework.
Right. Of course. And,
you know,
I mean, the other thing I think we haven't noted is Drake turned down a performance slot at the Grammys. Was nominated for Album of the Year, was one of the most nominated artists overall. Has spoken before about how he doesn't think the Grammys speak to him or his culture. Mm-hmm. That's why it was just, I don't know who wins by him showing up at all.
But excuse me, why was he backstage within like a second of being on camera after his name was announced?
And that's where we started, which is that something spugazy here.
Right. So maybe as conspiracy theory, someone in the OVO camp got a call from a blocked number.
Chubbs.
On Sunday morning.
OVO Ryan.
And was like,
hit the DMs.
We'll cover the lift from Calabasas.
Right.
We know it's surge pricing.
Yeah, it's all good.
But it could be worth your while to show up. Now, let's go one more step of conspiracy because we're already going in here.
I also have a counter conspiracy.
I'm thinking maybe he thought that was the first of many awards he was going to win for the night because he was also up for song and record. Mm-hmm. He was up for album of the year.
He did not go sit in the audience. He went back to his hidey hole.
Is that true? No one saw. I didn't see any shots in the audience.
I did not see him. I don't know.
I have a counter conspiracy.
Let's hear it.
Drake loves an arbitrage opportunity. Drake loves an unlikely, It blew my mind when Drake showed up at the AMAs, because literally no person of importance genuinely shows up at the AMAs.
Was that a subtweet at the Grammys? Well, him showing up at the AMAs?
Yes, but what I'm saying is that Drake saw it not for what we perceive the AMAs at, but for what he could use it for. Send a message in a room where basically there aren't that many famous people with like one 30-second speech. You can dominate the entire narrative of the conversation. The Grammys are thus decimated. So for Drake to show up, he knows instantly it becomes a conversation subject. A genuine moment. He's arriving with genuine feeling, positive and negative. He knows that there's not a lot of clutter for him to cut through, not on a night like this. And so for him, really, for like the 3-hour round trip from Calabasas to the Staples Center.
3-hour round trip.
Right.
It's true.
Yeah. For the 3-hour round trip and like, I guess, the suit fitting. You know, I'm sure he's probably got that, you know, he probably wore that to like.
On deck.
Yeah, it was on Deckington. You know what I mean? Like he probably wore that to like some dinner 2 months ago. So really, what's the lose? He can't play Fortnite for a couple hours?
I'm old enough to remember Drake taking a shot out of his Take Care Grammy.
Man.
He was very excited in that behind the scenes video.
That's true.
That was a different era.
That's true. But anyway, that's my sort of like that Drake basically smelled the blood on the Grammys and understood that he could benefit from it. That's my counter conspiracy. Just throwing it out there. Do we want to talk about some people who did benefit from?
Let's talk about some music. There was a lot of music last night.
Was there a lot of singing though?
I think there were 15 performances, if I'm counting.
And
right.
I watched them all. Is this where I have to eat crow?
Go ahead.
Yeah, let's start there.
Play it.
Brandi Carlile,
let's
the joke, it. Live at the Grammys in 2019. Let's hear it.
They come to kick dirt in your face, to call you weak and then displace. You have to carry in your baby on your back across the desert. I see your eyes behind your hair. And you're looking tired, but you don't look scared. You let her live while
this podcast is supported by Washington.org. Washington, D.C. offers visitors so much to explore. Just ask Dayo, who shared her experiences from a recent visit.
What was your favorite food all weekend?
The Ethiopian food at Sihe.
And the first place you would visit again? The bookstore, Little District Books.
What did you appreciate the most?
Really just like the genuine kindness of everyone that I encountered this weekend.
Why should people visit D.C.?
Well, D.C. is a place with such a thriving culture.
Washington, D.C. has something for everybody. Plan your next trip at washington.org.
I'm Emily Badger. I'm a reporter with The New York Times. Since the pandemic, empty office buildings have become much more common in many cities. Why can't we just turn them into housing? It's actually a really complicated question. To answer this question, you have to find a developer trying to turn an office building into apartments, ride a rickety elevator to the 30th floor of a construction site to see the interior guts of a building, find an expert in incandescent light bulbs who can explain to you how they fundamentally change office buildings. And that's just the beginning of what you have to do. When you subscribe to The New York Times, you are sending reporters like me out into the world to ask questions of dozens of different experts, to go and visit places most people don't get to go, to try to come back with answers, and then turn all of that into something that anyone can understand. If you'd like to become a subscriber, head to nytimes.com/subscribe. You need to see the animated floor plans in this piece.
Those of you who listen to Popcast with some regularity might recall the fervor with which I was frustrated about the high-profile Bernie Carlisle nominations. I should say, in this exact moment, my hands-down favorite musical performance of the 2019 Grammys, 61st Annual, was by Brandi Carlile. I was blown away. I thought she was in robust, phenomenal voice. I felt the emotion in the thing. I literally, it was the only musical moment in the show where I actually stopped looking at my computer and just watched.
I don't know what that feels like.
I want to say I was a little stupefied. And possibly I was stupefied because I arrived with low expectations, but I also think just on a purely objective level, I thought it was excellent. I should say it was orders of magnitude better than the album version of that song. I listened again because I am willing to be wrong. I am willing to say I was not offering the most refined, elegant, thought-through critique that I could have been in a moment. And I went back to the album version after the show was over, and I was like, nah, this is still flat. But this live performance, I thought was tremendous.
You call it a Grammy moment, John?
Trademarked.
Yeah, I think we'll get a cease and desist if we do.
But it definitely felt like one of those moments where somebody was taking the opportunity. And,
yes.
You know, she does not know when she's going to be on the Grammy stage in front of an audience of millions again. And she, like, did a lot with it.
A lot, yeah. And I think that
great outfit, too. Great outfit.
We underrate, you know, because it's become such a sport to snark on the Grammys, I think we underrate the platform that it can be for an artist like Brandi Carlile or like her, who I think, you know, performed similarly under pressure. But, you know, it really does elevate these people's careers. It really will change the course of them doing business in the near future.
And you know that the primetime performance slot means more than the award.
And
Brandi Carlile did get a bunch of them, by the way.
Yes, she did on the pre-show.
Yes.
On the pre-show.
And to your point about her, it was interesting. We sort of touched on the Lorde thing before. So last year, Lorde was nominated for Album of the Year. Ken Ehrlich at Ken Ehrlich literally doesn't even allow her to do a solo standalone performance.
Reportedly, she was offered a slot as part of a tribute or something.
Yeah. This year, like literally people with like SoundCloud links were given 4 minutes. Yeah. And I didn't like her performance as much as you, but I was very excited to see a performance like that on the Grammys. That was important to me. And this is also another thing that happens when super famous people don't show up. Other people are there to take advantage of the moment.
What are you saying about last year, John? What about Sting and Shaggy and that Patti LuPone number? And
I will say, generally the tenor of this conversation is more positive than most mornings after the Grammys, at least, again, since I've been in this job. But let us not overlook the shenanigans entirely, because Sting and Shaggy did win Best Reggae Album. Greta Van Fleet did win Best Rock Album.
I believe Dave Chappelle also won Best Comedy
That's
Album.
That's fine. Look, Dave Chappelle, he's a famous comedian.
It's true, but he did show up last year to open the show.
Right.
He doesn't come all the time.
Yes. Beck won his, like, 37th Best Alternative Album.
That's a really, really, really good album.
Shout out to Gerald Margerotti.
I just like the Grammys are as ridiculous as they've
Grammys
always been.
Grammy's gonna Grammy.
But they put on a good face last night for the public.
For part of it.
For part of it.
So do you want to talk about the performances we didn't like
so
much?
Can we just at least we didn't talk about Cardi and we should talk about Cardi just as an enjoyable thing?
Well, let's get to Cardi.
We'll get to her later?
Yeah, come on. We'll just let her breathe. We'll let Cardi breathe.
Okay, good. So
we're
let's
on
go
a negative
ahead.
Moment.
Karen, you got your fangs out. Let's go.
I think John wants to start.
Well, let's talk about Post Malone and Red Hot Chili Peppers, shall we? That thing went on forever.
Are we going to listen to it?
Tell me that it's all okay. I've been waiting on it so damn day. Hey, call me in the morning. Tell me how last night went. I'm here. But don't
I want to say I thought the first part where it was just Post
Stay.
Malone.
Post Malone good. Playing Stay.
No. Was good.
It's a guitar.
Was good.
I'm okay
all right,
with
let's
that.
Let, yeah. let's let John go in.
Yeah. JP, do your worst.
First of all, the guy cannot say TH. He says dat. I'm going in on that.
Oh my gosh.
That song, I'm not fond of the persona of Stay, even though it was a very nice sort of John Mayer moment with face tattoos.
Right.
Then you have him sort of wandering through the tunnel with the smoke to the track, sort of mumbling over all of the four-letter words in his own song and not, repeatedly, not doing anything about his collaborator, 21 Savage, who's in an ICE jail.
Piss poor politics.
You know, he's got the 21 Savage t-shirt on and he keeps his jacket closed.
Right, which we didn't, and just for the record, nobody knew he was wearing a 21 Savage t-shirt
until the PR blast went out afterwards.
And also, just as a sidebar, who's that PR person? I checked.
Never heard of him.
No, that person works like Latin trap artists. Very, very left field. I don't know where that came from. I'd like to hear an oral history of how that PR person ended up with that photo. Anyway, sidebar.
And then Red Hot Chili Peppers jumping around, taking off their shirts.
I couldn't hear anything over Kiedis's mustache.
And bangs. Kiedis, there was a lot.
Old yeah, that was... Okay.
That was Grammys. That was the most Grammys performance of
Grammys.
The night.
Yeah.
Do you think that the Red Hot Chili Peppers were ever a band that like were sitting around in some SoCal squat, like who would never go on the Grammys?
Probably. They probably felt that way, but like 40 years ago.
Things have changed.
Yeah. Well, here you are now, guys.
Hey, they've already done Bruno Mars. You know, what's the Grammys?
I mean, this is in the classic Kendrick Lamar Imagine Dragons mold.
Yeah.
This is
well, except
better
they were all
that?
Songs about, like, getting high. So,
sure.
That... I mean, there was a thematic continuity. I don't know. What goes through Adkan Erlich's mind with these things?
I could have, yeah.
So, okay, obviously the subtext for, vis-a-vis Post Malone musically in this performance is Post Malone is a great American musical polymath.
Yeah, we don't hate Post Malone.
No,
that's
no.
the other crazy
yeah, Post
thing.
Malone
as
can
a room,
do
we're
folk.
Mixed on Post Malone, we'll say it.
I am not a fan of Post Malone.
He can do folk. He can do sort of country rock, he can do hip-hop, he can do R&B, he can do whatever it is the Red Hot Chili Peppers are doing in the year of our Lord 2019. Like, he can do all of those things. That is, like, the sort of macro Post Malone narrative. That said, none of that got through because Post Malone did a minute of Rockstar and 21 Savage is sitting in ICE detention, and he didn't mention it at all. And I think as much as people were frustrated with the performance that he gave... I saw way more chatter with people really taking him to task about not mentioning 21 Savage while on stage. And I was wondering, did Ken Ehrlich, at Ken Ehrlich, say to him, you cannot say anything. Like, we will cut the mic. We will go to commercial. We'll do it to Drake. You know.
Watch me.
You have no idea how many people I'm going to cut off today. But did he basically implicitly threaten Post Malone? And even if he did, why doesn't Post Malone basically have the oomph to just be like, nah?
So my question, you know, 21 Savage's managers have been on social media talking about what they did and did not do with regards to the Grammys. I don't want to take any of their words out of context. I have not reported on this myself.
Mm-hmm.
But my question is, even if Ken Ehrlich says no, and you're Post Malone, and you're supposed to be quote unquote rock star, who cares? What's the worst thing that could happen to you?
Lil Pump would have done it.
I mean,
that he doesn't get invited back. He's more powerful than the Grammys.
And the only good answer I got is that people don't want to bring themselves increased law enforcement attention, which that's what I was going to say. Post Malone doesn't have anything to be worried about.
Drugs?
Well, the beer bongs.
Beer bongs are legal, JP.
You can't get arrested for a haircut.
I'm just saying, you know, for rappers, I think that's a fair answer. For Post Malone, it is not a fair answer.
Yeah. So that was frustrating. Karen Gans, I know where you want to go.
We're going to talk about Lady Gaga.
We're going to the deep end.
We're going to do it.
Let's hear a little bit of Shallow live on the Grammys. Come on.
Yeah, we got to turn your head upside down.
I'm doing all the Gaga memes. So Gaga, okay. So I want to say before Karen comes in with the howitzer, Gaga, in my opinion, was doing it for the memes. She was doing it all for the memes. Every moment she was on camera, there was a micro motion.
And I will disagree with you.
To be looped.
And say that Gaga does not know what a meme is.
You know what I'd say to that?
I don't know. You know, like real authentic musicians, John, they don't pay attention to memes.
Authentic, you know, like, musicians in head-to-toe sequins.
Yeah. You know what? I like the outfit. I think that was pretty much right. Where
beautiful gowns.
It started for me. Yes, beautiful gowns. Lovely gowns. It was just too much, which I know sounds like strange. We were talking about Lady Gaga. Like, there's a kind of Lady Gaga too much that is good, and that is telephone Gaga, you know, little monster dance Gaga, basically the first, like, 3 years of her career. And then something happened. But this was just sort of manic. And the power of that song is literally its dynamics. So that when she hits the note, you all know the note I'm referring to. Yeah. That she has built to that note from somewhere. I wrote this up in our best and worst. But like there was a 19-second introduction while Mark Ronson was like finger picking before she started playing. And in that 19 seconds, she literally bent herself in half twice and flipped her hair back up, did some sort of weird sidekick thing, and then jabbed like she was fencing seven times at him, like as though she was sort of in tune with the notes. This is all before the song started.
The song, which is a power ballad. Which
yeah. So if you're starting on 70 and you're trying to get to 10, like how it just mathematically, this does not work. I know John Caramonica is going to disagree with me, so I'm going to turn to my right and appeal to John Pareles for some backup on this. Did you like it?
No.
Okay. There we go. Well, I'm case curious. Closed. I'm glad we had this
I'm
talk.
I'm very curious how this performance will compare to her performance in a few Oscars. Weeks of this same song on the Oscars. Something tells me
yeah, it, might be a little
it
different.
Will not be like this. That again, like Karen was saying, like this song I think lands for so many people. And this performance in this film, because of her restraint.
Yeah, it needs to build.
It needs to build. And you get, you know, all I could, like, one of the best pop culture moments of the last year is when she's performing the song in the movie and she covers her eyes in this sort of, like, bashful, I can't believe I'm doing this
moment. I just
moment.
Got a chill when you said that,
that's
Joe.
What I'm
it
saying.
Really was
that's
that
like,
good, yeah.
And this performance was, like, you know, instead of Gaga covering her eyes in A Star Is Born, this was the Bird Box meme where the guys are ripping open the woman's eyes.
I had the feeling like maybe her guitar was plugged in, not grounded or something. It's like she was getting electrical shocks.
I just want to say I am on Giphy.com right now, typed in Lady Gaga Grammy, and it's teeming. It's teeming. I know that Lady Gaga is not a person that we have historically associated with self-awareness or sense of humor. Lord knows I have been on the wrong end of such Gaga-isms. That said, I think that Gaga, especially knowing that she's going to have to do it with Bradley in a more sober
Bradley
way.
Was at the BAFTAs last night.
Shouts to Bradley, probably hanging out with Taylor and Joe.
Also, so Gaga sang both parts herself.
Right.
For the record.
Miley was not available.
She was available.
That's a crime, really. Yeah.
So what I think is that she chose to treat it as a television moment. She wanted to do something that would be visually memorable. And she also wanted to be something that she's not usually, which is lighthearted. I saw a sense of humor and actual joy in Lady Gaga that I almost have never seen in 10 years of covering her. And I, for one, was charmed by it.
We were not watching the same performance, John.
It's just not what the song needed.
Oh, who was listening to the song? Should we talk about some of these tributes, which took about 7 hours?
I could have done with two fewer tributes. I don't know about it. I mean, like,
it felt like Aretha got a little bit
shortchanged.
Yes.
It was a little bit of a footnote.
I kind of expected her to lead the entire thing off. They saved it for the very end of the show. It was the last thing before the final two awards that went to Childish Gambino. I thought that
Casey Musgraves.
Miley Musgraves.
Yes. But don't you feel like she's like one of the most important people of all time? You can move her up maybe ahead of the Diana Ross, I'm turning 75.
But can you dance to her?
Okay.
Can J-Lo dance to her is the real question.
Maybe ahead of the J-Lo dancing through the hits of Motown, which are obviously all known for dancing.
Right.
Then again, would you want a Motown-like tribute to Aretha with like 20 singers?
Right,
some of whom were for, you know, Post Malone. You know,
we'll give Ken a break on this one.
I thought the booking was good.
I stand by my tweet that the Motown tribute should have been by BTS.
Wow. Yes.
Okay.
Or the Motown tribute could have been cut. And the Diana Ross thing, look, total legend, historically ignored by the Grammys.
Yes.
But she already did this at the AMAs 2 years ago.
Yep.
And it was better. So why did they need to copy it and take up all this time?
Because it's more different.
But also because young famous person deigned to show up. So you end up leaning on old Grammy tricks, which are just like, what's an anniversary? What's a birthday? Like, what's a thing we can pay?
But the show is overstuffed anyway. It was too long, hence all the cutting
I don't think at Ken Ehrlich agrees with you.
Are you saying you didn't enjoy the 20-minute, give or take, Alicia Keys karaoke set?
First of all, I'm sorry. Alicia Keys singing Juice WRLD on two pianos.
That was great.
That is a great party trick. That is a phenomenal party trick. I strongly approve
of it. Alicia Keys way better than James Corden. I don't think anyone here would disagree.
I think she was great. There was a lot of her. You know, I remember when we interviewed Corden, they said, oh, there's usually 12 minutes of airtime for the host. And she did 12 minutes just on that, like,
just on Juice WRLD.
Yeah, Club Keys set. I mean, there were people on stage pretending to be drinking in a club. I think we might have taken that one a little bit too far, but I really did like her.
All right, so I should preface this by saying I'm not a parent, right?
You are not.
I'm not a parent.
Where's this going?
I've never had a child. I've never, like, had a baby. Alicia's communication presence during the duration of the Grammys, whether it was the musical or speaking, struck me how I imagine parents speak to, like, colicky babies. Like, in this very, like, soothing, like, all the sort of vocals being extended, like, all the syllables, like, being dragged out, like, basically capturing you in, like, a womb-like state and making you feel safe. That's how Alicia, I thought, took the approach to the hosting thing.
Do you not want to quote from my best and worst blurb, which I thought was actually quite good?
Speak on it. Say it.
I know. You called her a CBD oil.
Yes, a CBD oil rub down.
Wow.
That was really good.
Yes, wow. Thank you.
Damn. How did I miss that?
I don't know. Maybe you didn't.
I was probably just picking myself up off the floor after reading your Gaga blurb. I probably missed it. My apologies.
That's pretty apt, though, right? I thought that was accurate.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's good. CBD no longer available as a food additive in New York restaurants. So I guess you can have Alicia Keys.
John, this isn't the Daily.
I'm just saying, you can have Alicia Keys. Anybody wanting to get CBD in their coffee, just get coffee and listen to Alicia Keys is what I'm saying. But yeah, a lot of tributes. I enjoyed the Dolly tribute.
Yeah, it was fine. Katy Perry overdid it.
Even though there were like 19 people who were a part of it. I enjoyed that.
That was a Grammy moment that I was fine with.
Yeah, well, the other people on stage had actually heard her songs beforehand.
Right. Which is always a crucial ingredient as far as these things go.
Factual. I feel like we've been punting Cardi, and I do not wish to punt Cardi anymore.
All right.
Cardi was the hero of the night.
Should we listen to a little Cardi first?
Yeah, let's listen to Money.
Look. It's all bad, it's all real. I ride in some big tall hills, big fat checks, big large bills. Run out, flip like 10 car wheels. Cold. I give Ross chills, 10 different looks, and my looks so kill. I kiss him in the mouth, I feel all grills. Heat in the car, that's meals on wheels. Woo! I was born to flex, yes. Diamonds on my neck. I like boarding jets, I like morning sex. But nothing in this world.
So that was Cardi B Money, which she also performed, and I say performed in partial quotes.
Oh, come on. She performed.
She performed. She did not. I'm not sure she rapped. but she performed. Is this the first time that there is confirmed lip syncing on the Grammys?
No.
You've
come on.
You've got to be kidding me.
No, I don't know. I just never really thought about it. And it, what was the last time that someone very blatantly lip synced?
Did Britney Spears appear on the Grammys?
I don't know. Did she?
It's a rhetorical question.
I'll wait for the 60th anniversary.
I don't think this is the first
time. When Carson Luters and Maddie B are paying tribute. An official Seth.
I thought Cardi's vocals were going in and out.
Yeah, I don't know.
I would argue she was rapping with the track and that it was not necessarily synced properly.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. When we complain about lip syncing, we always get the email afterwards saying, no, she was singing. It was just a reference vocal. You know,
if the reference vocal is 97% of what you hear.
Come on,
you
this is Let's so be beside the point.
I was going to say, this is one of the most fun, delightful, sharp award show performances
twerking
we've ever seen.
On a diamond-encrusted piano. Yes. It doesn't matter if she was rapping live.
Fine, all you postmodern pop kids. Sheesh. Okay, Cardi performed and it was a lot of fun, but Cardi won Best Rap Album, first female rapper to win Best Rap Album. And
Lauren
gave,
won as part of the Fugees.
Yes.
For solo.
As solo,
yeah,
sorry.
Yeah, yeah.
I thought her speech was just beautifully moving.
Phenomenal.
Again, I said this in my piece. You watch enough of these award shows and you realize that even the most kind of sincere and emotionally tapped in artists still kind of like have some kind of framework that they work within. They don't have boundaries that they go past.
Going back to Taylor Swift's surprise face.
Exactly.
Shout out to Rich.
But I genuinely, like, I feel like every time something happens that's beautiful for Cardi, you see her experiencing the new feeling in real time, and she has no instinct or desire or maybe even ability to hem it in. And watching her, it's like the Sally feel like you really like me moment, like, but it's even more raw and more pure. Again, in the same way that like the Brandi Carlile moment made me like pay attention, the Cardi B speech made me pay attention because you just don't see like things like that.
And you also never see her at a loss for words.
Mm-hmm.
True.
And the fact that she could not gather herself at first.
Squeezing Offset's hand.
Like she was just so in the moment. And I think like, could have guessed that she might have won that award. Mm-hmm. Again, like the fact that it was televised and
right.
Drake and Kendrick were not in the category.
Right. But like, unlike Drake.
It wasn't going to be Nipsey Hussle. I'll put it that way.
But like, unlike Drake, who they told.
Right.
I don't think they told Drake.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. I'm just sorry. Someone from OVO just DM me and just be like, yes, they told us. I just want to know for my own satisfaction.
But I mean, yeah, she's real life Cinderella. Like,
yeah.
She is unguarded. That's as much of her charm as her rap skills.
Yeah.
If not more. And I love that
I want her on every award show. Please yeah. get her an Oscar.
Host. Yes. Yeah.
Get her yep. on the CMAs.
Yes. Whatever. And I like also that she gave two speeches because she was obviously so nervous and, you know, thanked a few people and then backstage, there's a video yeah. of her backstage
oh, yeah.
really
on
doing
Instagram.
Pure Cardi
yeah.
where she's sort of gathered herself. Yeah. She says, you know, she gives it up to Mac Miller, who was also nominated mm-hmm. in the category, the late Mac Miller. And then she sort of goes through the people she forgot and, you know, drops a few more F-bombs and just, a great supplemental watch to anyone who hasn't seen it yet.
Couple of quick hits before we go out. We haven't talked about Dua Lipa, but so it was a night of unexpected people taking on big topics. You know, I did not expect Ludwig Göransson to be the person to be talking about 21 Savage on stage at the Grammys, but there we were. And then Dua Lipa, who is not necessarily someone who has been super vocal about issues of any kind, when she won Best New Artist not long after she performed with St. Vincent, a performance I liked, but I think maybe some other people did not like.
I didn't need it.
I liked it.
Did not like.
Okay. Okay, so two and two. So Dua Lipa said, I guess women stepped up.
She said, I guess this year we really stepped up.
Right, a Whoa. Reference
and
to
then,
you know, where was the Portnow reaction shot?
Well, the reaction shot was that she got played off pretty much immediately yeah. after she said that, but she kept talking.
Yeah, she kept going.
Yeah.
And she kept, I mean, she gave yet another motivational speech.
Yeah.
The great thing about Dua Lipa is pure Grammys, Best New Artist, Dua Lipa, put out her first single in 2015.
Right.
Had a top 10 United States hit in 2017.
Right.
Best New Artist, 2019. We're really on a discovery mode here.
And that was, I think, her second Grammy of the night, because she also won for Silk City, the Electricity song, like Best Dance Recording or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, Best New Artist, often an award they like to give to people who have already proven themselves hit makers.
Just in case.
I think because they've also, because in Grammy history, they've missed so many, and there are some Best New Artist curses that it helps to pick someone who the industry is already fully behind.
A quick note on Travis Scott. So Travis Scott has had an interesting, like, 8 days. So basically, like, Travis is in this weird position where he's just saying yes to things that everybody else is saying no to. And I don't know how that's going to play out for, like, his long-term moral health.
Well, to be fair, it is the Kardashian way.
Ooh.
But, hey, facts.
Team Stormy. So Travis played the Super Bowl for
a few seconds,
74 seconds, cursed, got bleeped out, and then fell back onto the crowd, like jumped back onto the crowd, played the Grammys for about 4 minutes because Drake obviously isn't playing, Kendrick Lamar isn't playing. Not that Travis is not having a very big year, but I would assume he comes in third or fourth after them as far as performance opportunities. Travis, I have very mixed feelings about Travis Scott, generally speaking. I don't necessarily enjoy him rapping, but I will say I was relieved that they kind of filmed Travis from a different angle. They filmed him from up top. They gave him a cage. They gave him a bunch of screaming people.
Although, they gave him a giant white man to sing some sad stuff before.
Yeah, first of all, is James Blake like 9'4"?
Wait, you haven't seen the tweet? The tweet, there's a great viral tweet going around that says, once you find out James Blake is 6'5", you're like, what do you have to be so sad about? James Blake is 6'5".
I did not know that. He did look like the giant from Twin Peaks. Like, he really just hovering over sad Travis. But I was really happy to see Travis do something that felt very true to Travis.
Not have any breath control.
Wow. You really just went there. Just
no, I mean,
no, you go to
a Travis show because he's moshing with you.
Exactly.
You don't go to a Travis show to hear the bars.
And it's obviously like the Grammys would have normally done almost anything except acknowledge that. So I was glad that they did that.
That they just let him mosh with a bunch of white kids.
Yes. Although someone who posted the photo of the Korn performance from the late 90s.
I missed that.
Someone on Twitter. I think it was maybe
Korn played the Grammys?
Yes. And with a bunch of screaming kids outside a cage.
I mean, that's an apt reference.
People used to really show up to these things.
Korn.
Yes. Yeah.
Jonathan Davis used to really show up to these things.
Fieldy used to really show up to these things. Throughout the night, I was watching the show and I was like, man, like the 2019 Grammys, like, could be the 1979 Grammys, like, for all intents and purposes. Like, they've learned nothing from the VMAs. They've learned nothing from the YouTube Music Award. You know, like, they've learned nothing from, like, any of the BET Awards.
Every set looks like some weird musical.
Yeah.
Like, the Havana performance was good except for whatever was going on in those little rooms.
It was a little Broadway. I kept waiting for Lin-Manuel to show up. Like,
I thought it was him behind that newspaper. I was happy it was J Balvin.
To me, the Havana performance is basically like, we can't do I Like It because the AMAs already did it.
Well, it didn't stop them elsewhere in the show.
Sure, but AMAs did it recently, not like 2 years ago. Like, that's really how it felt. Or maybe just Benito was like, I don't need the Grammys.
I was sad that I didn't see Bad Bunny there.
Yeah.
Maybe next year.
He definitely has more important things to do.
I just thought it was nice to start the show with some Latin music.
Yeah.
And you know, have...
Seven notes of Arturo Sandoval.
And they could have...
all high ones.
Yes.
Yeah, all very high ones.
But also, you know, J Balvin singing in Spanish.
They could have really neutered that Havana performance. They could have made it a medley. They could have had her with, you know, some more Grammys type person. The fact that they let Young Thug come
Young
on.
Young Thug. We need Young Thug at the Grammys.
Yes.
Kanye West, 2016.
Or
15.
17. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He called it. Thug got to come out. Balvin got to do his thing. You know, It was an exciting way to start the show, which is more than we can say most years.
I mean, it was a little, shall we say, over-directed, produced, staged, but it was still fun.
And it still did feel a little bit like pop star Monkey. It was a little bit like...
You have Camila.
Yeah, Riri's not here. Taylor's not here. Ariana's not here. We have Camila.
You know,
she made the most of it.
I was just going to say that she stepped up and I almost corrected myself, but she really did. She made the most of it.
Karen, you're canceled. Let's close out going back where we started, which is Casey, because we didn't really get into too much of the import of Casey. So, like, okay, skeptical read on Casey winning. Obviously, there's, like, effectively 5 rap albums in the category. Most of the people who vote for the Grammys don't vote for rap anyway. They certainly aren't all going to like gather themselves underneath one of those umbrellas.
Yeah, I just don't think Drake or Kendrick even Cardi, because of that, stood a chance.
Yes. So, like, I think, as I said in the Grammy preview thing, you're basically left with Casey or Brandy. So the skeptical read is like, Casey is the best guitar-driven album of this year, therefore it wins Album of the Year.
Well, it's also the most placid album of the year in that
category. Wait, it's more placid than the Brandy album?
Yeah, but the Brandy album has big emotional peaks and valleys. The Casey album is like, you know, Buddhist stoner country.
Yeah, it's chill.
It's relaxing. It's more CBD oil.
Oh, it's a different drug, I think.
Yeah, it's like 30% CBD, 70% THC.
So that's the negative read on the Casey album. What's the positive read on Casey winning?
I mean, I think it's cool for the Grammys to have acknowledged somebody who is not popular. I mean, I think it seems like she probably got the Nashville vote, but she is not a Nashville favorite.
No, there was a funny moment when she won Best Country Album, which I think was presented by Luke Combs, Kane Brown, and...
Little Big Town? Were they there?
No, Megan Trainor.
Megan Trainor. Okay, oh, yes, Megan Trainor. That's an outlier. But I definitely felt like Kacey Musgraves like walked on stage. It was kind of like, I've never seen these people before in my life. And they also were like,
who are you?
Right.
It's like nice to meet you.
Like,
Kane
it was like
Brown.
The opposite Spider-Man meme where they're like, they're not pointing at each other because they have no idea that they do the same thing. Anyway, sidebar.
Yeah. So I think, you know, it's a relatively progressive album for as far as Grammys go. We know that they do like folk, country, Americana. Actually, I think it's only the 4th pure country album to win, if you want to call it that, to win Album of the Year. But it just...
No, it's not that pure.
Though it's not that pure country album.
It stretches it out.
Yeah, so I don't know. I mean, it didn't sell a lot of records. There's no radio hits on it, even country radio.
It's not like, even the best Casey Musgraves album. But
it's...
It's good and solid, though.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's very pleasant.
It's hard to be mad at as a choice for Album of the Year.
I kind of wish, though, that they had given her a better song of hers to perform, because Rainbow is saccharine.
I wish she had performed my favorite song from the album, which we did a Diary of a Song on, shout out Joe Coscarelli, Slow Burn, the opening track, which is so good.
Yeah, if they wanted a ballad from her, they could have done Slow
Burn.
That
was the one.
That is our show. Our apologies for making you listen to things about the Grammys for an hour. You know, we're just passing trauma along because that's how these things work. Thank you to Joe and to Karen and to JP. Listen to every podcast ever at nytimes.com/podcast. Subscribe to the podcast anywhere you get your audio content and email us. I got a couple of interesting, good Grammy emails already. One person was asking, how does Lady Gaga win a Grammy for Joanne, which came out 3 years ago?
It's a live version.
It's a live version. I think, wasn't Camilla also nominated
for
a live
Havana
version?
Yeah, Havana live version.
Okay.
Yeah, there are a couple of categories where live songs almost always win. It's a trick.
I want to say I have no interest in like fixing the Grammys. That's like not a thing I have any interest in. Even though Karen and I had like a conversation a few days ago where I was like, the way to fix the Grammys is basically you have to make a little pump vote.
Right.
Yeah. Right. That's like basically
the way to fix America is you have to make a little pump
absolutely.
Vote.
So it's a lot of pressure on a little pump. But anyway, so I don't want to fix the Grammys, but I do think a small tweak that I think would help is you cannot nominate live versions of songs just to get famous people to
John,
show up.
This is like the 70th problem on the list.
And also, you're saying this during the outro to this podcast.
I know at Ken Ehrlich is listening. So that's our show. Our producer is Pedro Rosado from Headstepper Media on the quick turnaround this week. Let's go out on Casey Musgraves, Slow Burn.